You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to continue our Set Apart to Serve series in 2025. Looking forward to learning more about Set Apart to Serve, what's happening with that. And we're going to talk about journey maps. Do you know what a journey map is, Sarah?
I'm going to learn today, and I'm very excited.
I'm excited about this, too. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, friends from Standing Partnership who have been helping us with Set Apart to Serve, Annie O'Donohue. She serves as manager with Standing Partnership. Annie, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you for having me.
And Nick Sargent, vice president for Standing Partnership. Nick, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Great to be back. Thanks for having us.
We are excited to learn about some of the work that Standing Partnership has been doing to help us with Set Apart to Serve and learning about journey maps. I'm excited to find out what that means. It just sounds like something interesting and fun. But before we do that, let's learn about your roles with Standing Partnership and how you've been involved in Set Apart to Serve. Annie, let's start with you. What is your role at Standing Partnership and how have you been involved with Set Apart to Serve?
So I am a manager at Standing Partnership, and I work with several clients, but how I work with Set Apart to Serve is with the second career strategy. So we aim to recruit pastors as a second career, teachers from public schools to our Lutheran schools, and teachers to go through the colloquy process.
Nick, what about you? What is your role with Standing Partnership and Set Apart to Serve?
Well, as vice president, I've been on this project since the very beginning when we started with research to better understand what were the motivators and challenges for people to either pursue the vocations or even recommend the vocations. So I've been working with Dr. Bodick and the Set Apart to Serve team for through two conventions, helping for the project to make progress, going from a place where we had less than half of pastors and other church workers recommending the vocation and talking about the vocation with young people in their congregation to more than 3/4 today, which we feel like is tremendous progress.
I feel like through two conventions, he deserves like a badge or
yes.
something.
There must be a medal, an award out there somewhere for that.
A lot of time put in preparing for those events, right?
Yes. Yes. So much time. Annie, you mentioned that you're working with second career mostly in all of that. And we've been talking about journey mapping. So what is journey mapping? What is that process?
So what a journey map does is it creates a visual journey of, let's say, from point A to point B, starting to finish. However, what we know is that throughout that journey, there are a ton of steps, there are questions, there are barriers that might prevent someone from getting to the finish line. And so we walk through every stage of the journey with whoever we're doing the map with, which for this conversation, we did it with pastors or seminarians at both St. Louis and Fort Wayne who were pursuing becoming pastors as their second career.
Mm. So for Set Apart to Serve, that means you spent some time at both seminaries. Tell us about visiting with seminary students and their wives. What was it like getting to spend some time with them, maybe learning more about them?
So, you know, you can do journey mapping virtually or in person. And what was so great is that we were truly lucky to be able to go to both seminaries in person. And so we got to see, you know, what a day in the life was for a seminarian, for their wives, and even we got to eat with them. So we got to see their kids because we did two separate workshops where in the middle of each we joined for dinner. And so just seeing them as like a family unit, we got to worship with them. And, you know, by the end of the workshop, you've already formed this relationship and you can ask these questions, and it just, the value of being there in person is really great.
You really get to understand the rewards and the challenges of what it's like to pursue this, particularly at this stage in the lives of these second career seminarians and their wives, who often, as Annie mentioned, most of them have children. It's a big ask to pick your family up and pursue this, you know, and pick them up and move them to a new place and have them enter new schools and new lives. Oftentimes wives are pursuing new careers or everyone's building new relationships and families. And we got the opportunity to hear very clearly about a lot of those challenges. But at the same time, it was really impressive to every man and woman of how committed they are through all of those challenges, because they believe so deeply in pursuing the vocation. Not, again, not just the husband, but the wives, and understanding the vocation that is a pastor's wives, you know, even though that's not necessarily an office of the ministry that's recognized in the bylaws of the state.
Why is a journey map like this so important to the process of what you guys have been doing for several years now? Where does this fit into all those steps? Why is this an important part of what you guys are doing? Annie?
So, you know, it's easy to think, well, someone is interested in becoming a pastor. They go to seminary, they take their classes, and then they get their call. But, you know, we wanted to start at the very beginning. Like, when does someone become aware of the opportunity? When do they become aware that they might be interested? And so what we did is we broke it into 6 stages. When they become aware, as they consider, when they finally make the decision to go forward, the enrollment process, relocation, and then finally the years at seminary. And we asked them a series of questions. You know, who did you interact with? What questions did you have? You know, what was painful? What made this a difficult journey? What support would help? And so, as Nick mentioned, you know, it is quite a journey, and there's sacrifice, and there's, you know, relocating the whole family if, you know, you're married with children. And so what we learned was that they go through quite the journey. However, everyone there was so, so grateful to be there. It was such a blessing. They want to be there. And it's just, it will help us reach more people and help more people, help more men to become pastors as a second career and their wives, and the support that we can offer.
So what I'm hearing is that it was a challenging journey, but also rewarding as well. It was challenging, but there was support to make it through that journey.
Yes, very much so. And a lot of, you know, at the end, a lot of those identified barriers actually became some of the blessings. So a barrier such as, you know, we're leaving our home community at the end of the years at seminary. It's like, oh, we're leaving the community we formed at seminary. So just even to see how that morphs throughout the years.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the time actually getting to sit down with seminary students, and then what that schedule looked like. You said you had a meal together as well. So you had time with just the seminary students and then time with just the pastor's wives, correct?
Correct.
Well, okay. So I have to ask, was the vibe different or the meeting with between those two different meetings?
Of course, because really the journey is so different, you know, just what each of them experience. So yeah, I mean, the vibe was similar, but also like opposite.
Another
but then I think, yeah, and it was nice to have the transition, you know, as the family together, as, you know, to separate the two, because it's, you know, it really is a whole family journey.
We heard a lot in the session with the seminarians about the challenge of Greek and Hebrew and how they come together to get through that and learning those ancient languages, how important it is, how challenging it is. When we met with the wives, we heard about that, but from a different perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Of, I know that I need to support my husband as he goes through these challenging classes that are really important at the start of this journey. But then, you know, it's really on me to help my children find the right school or the right daycare, or how do I get plugged into this community and get to know the area around me. That's really my role. So it was really interesting to be able to see it from both perspectives, and almost instantly, because the husbands, many of the husbands that came in the first session, it was their wives that were in the second session. So you got to see that dynamic at play, not necessarily with each other a little bit over the meal, but to hear those different sides of the story and understand how they were coming together was really fascinating. And I think enlightening for us as we work on this going forward.
Yeah, let's dive a little bit more into that. I'm really curious, because you were able to talk to both groups separately and then have some of that time together, what were some of the other things that you learned individually from each of the groups that really helped inform the journey map?
So for the seminarians, something that we learned is that some become aware, you know, as far away, you know, for 20 years, they're aware of this. They're aware that they could be, you know, they want to do this, or it's 10 years. You know, it's, we had some that was like, okay, 1 year, I thought about it, I went right into it, or as long as 20 years. So that is really important as we look to recruit pastors as their second career, of that time nurturing that interest and that decision can take a while, but they do get there. You know, it's like they, that whisper is always there. So that was eye-opening. And then just, you know, thinking about going back to school as an adult and the unique challenges that come along with that, not just having a family, but giving up income. And, you know, your brain as we age just doesn't soak up as fast. And then for their wives, so much so before the decision of what does it mean to be a pastor's wife? Am I, is this my calling? Am I, can I be that person in my congregation? What does this mean for our children? Are they going to be treated differently? So that was really eye-opening. And then again, just seeing and hearing, you know, it's one thing to say your whole family moves to seminary, but to hear all the steps involved and packing up, you know, 40 years in a house, or I don't know, 40 years, but, you know, a whole lifetime in a house. And like, that's where your kids grew up. So it was really eye-opening of how this journey has its ups and downs.
Absolutely. And I think one of the other things that we learned is when we do these journey maps, we're trying to find our commonalities and consistencies, but we know that those are broad strokes and that the journeys can look different for different people. We saw people coming from all walks of life, from all stages of life, right? There's people who have started this journey after retiring from their first career. There's people who have found success in their first career and decided this is what I want to do next, or who haven't found fulfillment in their secular careers and want to pursue this. I think we also found that there are many cases where the wife of the seminarian is the first person to say, I really think you're being called to this. You should consider it, right? So that there are a lot of different ways that people come to this, and that'll help us put resources together to help pastors and congregations who might be seeing these folks in their own pews and thinking, gosh, that he might really be a good seminarian. How do you approach those conversations? And even helping them know, as Annie mentioned, that journey to even saying, I want to even look into this may take 5-10 years, just to keep that encouragement happening over time.
We're continuing our conversation in the Set Apart to Serve series today with our friends from Standing Partnership, learning about a journey map and their conversations with seminary students and their wives. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our conversation in the Set Apart to Serve series, talking with our friends from Standing Partnership, learning about a journey map, meaning they had a conversation, they had conversations, many conversations with seminary students at both seminaries and seminary student wives as well, learning about their journey into seminary and that experience. So now you've had the opportunity to visit both seminaries and have conversations with seminary students at both seminaries and their wives, even meet the kids as well over a meal. And you've learned a lot, it sounds like, through these conversations. We have learned a lot through these conversations. What does this mean for us now that you've had these conversations for this journey map? How will the journey map then serve us as we move forward in continuing to encourage folks to consider second career opportunities to serve?
So the information we learned can go towards a lot of resources, any messaging. So resources both for someone who is for a man considering pursuing the vocation, for his wife, you know, answering questions, praying together, like all of these tips, and even congregations. So how can a congregation support someone who they think would be a great pastor or who has expressed this? You know, something that came up throughout the journey was how much their church families, you know, in their home congregations, how much that support really meant, whether it was, you know, texting them, calling them, praying for them, you know, sending them gift cards. So really, how can we help anyone in this process, make this process easier, how we can attract more people? So a lot of resources.
And I think one of the things that really came through in the research was throughout Set Apart to Serve, I think hopefully everybody who's listening to this feels like they're a part of the program, and that wherever they are, that they're encouraged to look for people who might be a good church worker and to encourage them along that path. But it might not always be clear of how much they're being asked to do. And one of the things we really learned was the sort of fulcrum or the tipping point for both the husbands and the wives were getting to campus and experiencing what it's like to be either in St. Louis or Fort Wayne. And that really was like, this is where I need to be. So what does that need to look like at the congregation level? How do we build those support and resources? It's really about encouraging those folks that you see as having this opportunity to serve and encouraging them to first just talk to the admissions teams at one or both of the campuses. And those campus admissions folks are really great about saying, come and visit. Come and take a look. There are a number of different programs to get them exposed. And then I think the other thing that we can encourage pastors, congregation members, whomever to do is make sure that they go and do that visit. If they're having that conversation and they're a little bit, well, I don't know if we should spend the weekend there or not. Just go. And I think in a lot of cases, that will be the really important role that individuals who are listening to this can play in encouraging those that might be a good second career pastor candidate.
Earlier, you mentioned that there were different stages of the journey map that you had them go through. What were some of the ways that those different stages now connect to different action points and different resources that you're going to be able to provide for congregations?
Let's see. So, you know, the stage of self-doubt, I think that, you know, for a wife, for example, you know, she has all these self-doubt questions. Can I do it? And even just having, you know, some tips, you know, talk to your pastor's wife, talk to, you know, ask to be connected with other wives. It kind of shows that you're not alone in this journey. You know, for men wanting to go to seminary, talk to your pastor, talk to elders, you know, pray about it. It's just the journey is so different for people, yet it's so the same. So how can we tap into that and just make it easier? You know, how can we address the questions that kept coming up? How can we help with barriers? How can we communicate like, hey, this is a checklist that you may need to do before moving or before talking to seminaries, or what can you ask them?
And I think what we learned too is that both of the seminaries have some really great programs and things, materials that they're doing to help the second career candidates and their families move in, help finding a place to live, help connecting into the community to find the right home church for them, how to find the right school for them in the community once that they've settled. But there's opportunities, I think, sometimes to make it easier to find that information or to put that information all in one place. Sometimes it's really, you know, these journey maps, they can be the blinding flash of the obvious, these really big things. But oftentimes the biggest things that you find are the really small things, the sort of things where you don't even think about it when you're putting up the door on the front, you know, on the front of your building, and people are constantly coming, grabbing the handle and pushing it when it's pulled, right? that you don't think all the way through it, but there are these little things of, yeah, just put a little sign that says pull on it, and now I can get in the door. That can make a big difference in the experience for the people who are going through it. And sometimes it takes, you know, a project like this to find out, oh yeah, that will make it a lot easier in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, the takeaway from this conversation is that how important that first visit to campus is. Mm-hmm. You know, you might be thinking about seminary for a long time, but until you visit campus and see what the community life is like on campus, being able to gather together around the word. I know chapel life is so important in seminary life,
yeah,
and being able to see that and witness that on campus. It sounds like that was really key for a lot of the people you talked with. What was it like? Tell us about the collaboration with both of the seminaries, meeting with the seminary leadership and the admissions teams as well. What was it like to get to collaborate with the seminaries and their teams?
Probably throughout this process, that was a really, truly amazing part of this, was just every time that we met someone new, that we started to work with anybody at either of the campuses, they were so enthusiastic to be a part of this and to learn more from their students and to learn more from the students' wives. Sometimes it can be a little hard doing this sort of research and actively saying, hey, what was hard about this? And to reflect on that. And both seminaries were so excited and really anticipating getting this feedback back so that they could start to address these things, either in coordination with sort of parts served, or in some cases they're just operational things that they can start to move on. They were both really great. And I think, you know, for everybody listening here, the other thing observationally that was really awesome to see was the collaboration between both of those campuses, between each other and Set Apart to Serve, and even just the interaction between them. It was very clear with all three of these different sort of stakeholder groups, they're all moving in the same direction because they all want to solve the bigger challenge, which is how do we get more pastors into the pulpits across the synod? And it doesn't matter which campus that they go to. There's naturally a little bit of friendly competition, but they're interested in overall the impact that it's going to have. And throughout this, there were so many meetings where we were meeting with people from both campuses, and the interaction, discussion, sharing of ideas was so great to see.
So what's next in this process? This is such a wonderful thing that you guys have been able to do. And it sounds like the collaboration has been really critical for getting all of these great resources and ideas and things flowing. What's next in this process for the Second Career Set Apart to Serve initiative?
Now we use all that information and make those resources, like you said, you know, we make recruitment guides, we, you know, continue to work with the seminaries from, you know, what we glean from the workshops. We help, you know, maybe suggest solutions, but that's now we take the work and we go with it.
Yeah. One of the great things about journey mapping as well is it's not something that most people will see, but from the inside, you get to use it as a measurement tool, right? Mm-hmm. We know where those steps are now that are the most challenging, and we can start to talk about how do we make different changes to that and then measure, are we making it easier or not? Are we making it better for the right candidates to come through at the right stages? Have we started to fix those things? And then it's an opportunity for constant improvement. It's a tool that we said, all right, well, we've turned this valve, we've fixed this. Now let's look at the next cog in the stream, this next step in the journey, and see what we can do with that one. So it's a journey of continuous improvement, which might seem a little pedantic, but it's really a great opportunity to just keep making this better and better over time.
And you can certainly learn more about attending either one of the seminaries by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You can learn about all the church work programs available in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This has been a fantastic conversation. I've enjoyed learning about journey maps and how this is useful to us as we continue the conversation and Set Apart to Serve. Our guest today, Annie O'Donohue, Manager for Standing Partnership. Annie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Nick Sargent, Vice President for Standing Partnership. Nick, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Again, you can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.